You know, the Lord made a big change in my life. That's one reason I played that song before I'm starting to speak. Because the Lord changed my life. He changed my priorities. When I was a kid, my mom used to make me go to church. I hated to go to church. And I always made excuses. I always seemed to get sick Sunday morning. And when I got old enough, my mom stopped bugging me, and I made a choice, you know, and I didn't go to church. And, when I was going to church, my mom made me take a class to become a member of the church. Well, I was the only one that flunked. I just had nothing to do with it. But, you know, the Lord changed my life. That's why I'm here tonight. It's hard. If you would have told me years ago that, hey, someday you're going to be telling people about the Lord, you're going to be toting the Bible, I'd say, I can't believe it. The Lord changed my life. He changed my priorities. And that's why I'm here tonight. Because the Lord gives me a burden to tell others about Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to talk about Joseph. And a lot of, when you mention Joseph of the Bible, a lot of people think of Mary and Joseph and how they went to Bethlehem. Well, this is a different Joseph in the Bible. This is Joseph. Way back in the first part of your Bible, in the book of Genesis, it starts out in about chapter 37. We're going to talk about Joseph, a different Joseph. I want to give you a little history about Joseph's family. Joseph's great-great-grandfather was Abraham. And if you know anything about Abraham, Abraham is the father of all Israel, the Israeli nation. God promised Abraham that his seed, his family, would become a great nation. So many that you can't number them because of the multitude. And at the time, God promised Abraham that he would have a great nation. He was about 100 years old. And his wife was about 100 years old. And Abraham thought, my wife's going to have a baby 100 years old? Well, hey, with God, everything's possible. And his wife, Sarah, had a baby, and they named their baby Isaac. And maybe you've heard the story of Isaac. Here's this cherished boy of Abraham named Isaac. And Abraham loved Isaac so much. It's his child, the one God promised him. And one day God said, you take Isaac up to the mountains and sacrifice him. Kill him as a sacrifice to me. Whew. Unbelievable, isn't it? But Abraham said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. So Abraham took his young boy Isaac up to the mountains to sacrifice him to the Lord, to show the Lord that he was obedient no matter what happened. And as Abraham's up there on the mountain, going to sacrifice Isaac on this altar they had made, he raises the knife, and God says, no, Isaac, or no, Abraham. There's a ram stuck in the bushes over there. You sacrifice that ram instead. But you know what that showed? That showed to God that Abraham was faithful. And Isaac had a son named Jacob. And Jacob was also named Israel. It's kind of confusing in the Bible, maybe, some of us, that Jacob and Israel is the same name, okay? And Jacob is the father of Joseph, the one I'm going to talk about. Kind of sounds like a soap opera, doesn't it? A lot of names there. But we're going to talk about Joseph. And in chapter 37 of Genesis, in verse 3, I'm going to start reading there. And it says, now Israel, which is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of them, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceable unto Joseph. And Joseph dreamed a dream. God allowed Joseph to dream this dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet even more. And he said unto them, I pray you, listen to this dream that I dreamed. For behold, we were all binding sheaves in the fields. And lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around, and they bowed down in obedience to mine. And his brothers hated him for it. And his brothers said unto him, Will thou shalt reign over us, or shall we indeed, you have dominion over us? And they hated him more and more. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obedience to me. And he told it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is it, this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves unto earth to you? And his brothers envied him. But his father observed the saying. His father wondered, Boy, why is he dreaming these dreams? And his brothers hated him for this dream, saying that, Hey, I'm going to be the boss over you guys, is according to this dream. And so his 11 brothers hated him. And one day when Joseph went out to visit his brothers that were out in the pastures, way off in the distance, minding the sheep, in verse 18 it talks about that. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. Here's his brothers. They're wanting to kill him. They hate him so bad that they're going to kill him. And later on, as we read down in there, it talks about that his brothers gang up and is going to slay him. And in verse 21, it says, Reuben heard it, one of his other brothers, and delivered them out of his hands. So said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that's in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him. And the reason Reuben did that is because he figured if they throw him in a pit to let him die of starvation or thirst, while his brothers took off, Reuben was going to sneak back and get his brother out of the pit and save his life. But while Reuben was gone, his brothers did throw him in the pit. And then these Ishmaelites that are traitors going on camel across the desert, his brothers seen these Ishmaelite traitors. And he says, Hey, instead of killing him, let's just sell him. We can get rid of him. We don't have to kill him. And we get money for it. So that's what they did. They took Joseph out of the pit and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And they took off his coat, and they killed a little kid goat. And they took the blood from that goat, and they smeared it all over this coat. And they took the coat back to his dad. He says, Hey, Dad, look at this coat. Isn't this Joseph's coat? And his dad seen the coat. And he was real sad because he knew that was a coat of many colors that his brother bought him, or his dad had given him. And he mourned. And it's down in verse 35, and it says, All of his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he says, For I will go down into my grave mourning for my son. And he wept. And then we go on into verse 30, chapter 39. And it says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guards, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made that all that he did prosper in his hands. And Joseph found grace in his sight, And he was made overseer of all the house. And he put all that in his hands. So this Potiphar, this Egyptian soldier, seeing that God was with Joseph. You know, here's a 17-year-old boy. Joseph was 17 years old at this time. And he was taken away from his family, sold as a slave. He's brought into a foreign country. He doesn't know their language. And he's a slave now to this guy. And Potiphar, the slave master, knew that God was with Joseph. Why? Why would you think that he could see that God was with Joseph? Because Joseph must have been a hard worker. He was honest. He was trustworthy. You know, most people, if they got sold as a slave by their brothers and taken to a foreign land, couldn't speak the language, nobody to be friends with them, how would they act? When they say, hey, God, why am I in this situation? God, why don't you get me out of this situation? A lot of them would say, they would curse God. But you know, Joseph really loved the Lord. And even though he's in all these trials, all these tribulations, he still did what the Lord would want him to do. He worked hard. He glorified the Lord. He was honest. He was true. He was faithful. And Potiphar seen that. Here's Joseph. He did no wrong. And he was in these conditions. Things were going bad. But now, he has control of all of Potiphar's things. And you know, things were going pretty good for Joseph. And later on, when things start going good, you kind of got to watch out. Because Satan gets his hands into things. When things look real good, here's Joseph has a good job now. He's in charge of all the things, in charge of all the other servants. But you know, it says that that Joseph was a good-looking fella. And Potiphar's wife had her eyes on him. And it came to pass after these sayings that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she says, lie with me. But you know what Joseph says? But he said, I refuse. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not that is with me, that the house, he had committed all these things unto my hand. But he says, you know, he has kept everything. He had let me have everything, but he kept back the only thing which is you, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke unto Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, nor to be with her. He kept his distance from her, what it says. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his work, and there was none of the men servants in the house with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of there. When sin comes creeping at your door, get out of there. That's what Joseph did, because he was a godly person. And you know, Potiphar's wife, she was mad. She started screaming, more or less saying, rape, rape. And the other men servant came in there. And she had kept Joseph's clothes, his shirt, until Potiphar came home. And you know what she said, told Potiphar? Hey, here's this Hebrew boy. He brought him into our house. And look what he's doing to me. And Potiphar heard that. And Joseph's, in verse 20, it says, Joseph's master came and put him into prison and placed him where the king's prisoners were and bound him. And he was there in prison. What would you think if you was Joseph at this point? What would you think of God at this point? Here, Lord, I've done all you wanted me to. I've tried to be a Christian witness while I'm being a slave. I'm working hard. I'm trying to be trustworthy. I'm doing your will. And now I'm thrown out. I'm accused of rape. and I'm thrown into prison. But you know, we'll read on, and here's what Joseph did. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison commended to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. He was in charge. The keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And the Lord made it prosper. Here the keeper of the prison trusted Joseph. Joseph's keeping on the straight and narrow. He's staying, doing the same thing he did, no matter what happened to him. He's following the Lord. He's being faithful to the Lord. It's hard to do in those circumstances. You know, a lot of us have Christian brothers and sisters we can lean on and fellowship with. Joseph, he's all alone in a strange country. But he's still leaning on the Lord. A young fella. And then later on, while he's in prison, the Pharaoh of all Egypt, the king of all Egypt, throws in his butler and baker into the prison. And the butler and the baker each have dreams. Remember, Joseph told his brothers and his mom and dad about the dreams he had? Well, the butler and the baker had dreams while they were in prison. And they wondered, what do these dreams mean? And they told them to Joseph. And Joseph says, you know, God can interpret dreams. And God will allow me to interpret your dreams. So God told Joseph what these dreams meant. And he told the butler, hey, in 3 days, your dream means in 3 days, you're going to be back having your job. And then the baker was pleased with the answer the butler got. And the baker says, well, what's my dream mean? And he says, well, in 3 days, you're going to be dead. Well, 3 days passed, and the butler had his job back. 3 days, the baker was dead. So when the butler got his job back, you know, he's with the Pharaoh again. He's with the king of all Egypt. And 2 years go past. And in chapter 41 it says, and it came to pass in the full 2 years the Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored cows and fat with fat flesh. And he fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed. And he stood by the other cows upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored cows, the lean-fleshly cows, did eat the 7 that were favored, the fattened cows. And then the Pharaoh awoke. And you know, the Pharaoh called all his wizards and all his wise men to try to interpret this dream. And none of them could. And the butler remembered, hey, I know a guy in prison that can interpret dreams. So he told the Pharaoh about that. And the Pharaoh, hey, you know, I want to hear this guy. So it says in verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say that thou can understand dreams and interpret dreams. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God shall give Pharaoh the answer of his peace. You know, here's Joseph, been in prison. And he's still giving God the glory. He doesn't say, yeah, I can interpret dreams. I know everything. He isn't saying that at all, is he? He's a humble fella. And he says, you know, God shall give you your answer to your dream. And you know, God did give Joseph the answer to that dream, the interpretation of that dream. Joseph told Pharaoh that the 7 cows that came first out of the river were 7 years that you're going to have plenty. Your harvests are going to be bountiful. But he says, the seven lean cows that come after that, there's 7 lean years. 7 years that the land's going to dry up. 7 years of drought. And Pharaoh was saying, you know, what can I do? What can I do? Here's Pharaoh, the king of all Egypt, the most powerful man around. And he's asking a young fella in prison, a fella he never knew before. He's asking this guy that just came out of jail, what should I do? And Joseph says, you should get a wise man that you can keep in charge of all the food over the next 7 years and store up what you can for the next 7 years. You never guess who Pharaoh put in charge of all of Egypt. Joseph. Here's a little shepherd boy. It is now a man. But, wow. The second most powerful man of all Egypt is Joseph. And for 7 years, he's in charge. He has the king's ring, the authority to go anywhere, do anything, tell anybody anything. And he keeps charge of all the grain. And the 7 years pass. Then come the lean years. And the lean years start going by. 2 years go by. People come from all over to buy grain from Pharaoh, from Joseph. He sees Joseph. People come see Joseph. They don't see Pharaoh because he's in charge. And you know who happens to come by? His brothers. His brothers come by to buy grain because of all the drought in all the land. And his brothers come to buy grain. And you know, if you were the man in authority and your brothers sold you to slavery and you had to live all them years without any help, all by yourself, what would you do to those brothers when they came to buy grain? Would you have them tortured? Would you have them killed? Would you have them go through some rough times? Would you throw them in prison? Most people would. But you know, with Joseph, he loved the Lord. He did what the Lord wanted him to do. And we get into chapter 45. And when he first seen his brothers, he had to go in the back room and cry. Here's a humble man. He went back in the back room and cried because he's seen his brothers. His brothers didn't recognize him. I'm leaving a lot of things out of this story because it'd take 2 or 3 times here to get you through all of it. So I'm whizzing through a lot of it, okay? You need to go back and read it for yourself to make the true impact. I'm trying to summarize a lot of it. But eventually, he told his brothers, hey, you know who I am? He said, no. You know, they didn't know. I'm Joseph, your brother that you sold. And his brothers were terrified, completely terrified. Wouldn't you be terrified if you'd done that and your brother has all the power in the world to do anything, do you? They were terrified. And here in chapter 45, verse 5, he says, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye have sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve your life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you and your posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he hath made me the father to Pharaoh, the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Go up to my father and say unto him, thus say thy son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou in thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Wow. Isn't that something? The love of the Lord showing through Joseph, through all the trials, through all the tribulations that he had in his life. We need to try to do that with our lives. You know, there's two ways that we can handle situations, trials, tribulations in our lives. There's two things you can do. You can harden your heart to God. You can be mad at God. It'll make your life miserable, and you'll turn away from God, and you'll miss out on all the blessings. Or you can do like Joseph. You can draw closer to God, and that will give you comfort, and that will give you peace of mind. The Bible says the peace that passes all understanding He can give to you, and He'll give you strength in your weakness and through your trials and through your tribulations. You know, you may be here because you did something. I'm not a judge. Remember Joseph. He was in prison because he didn't do anything. And he still stood for the Lord. If anybody had a right to be mad, would it be Joseph? Nobody has a right to be mad at God, but if anybody thinks they have a right to be mad at God, it would have been Joseph. Being sold as a slave and still doing God's will. And being turned down and accused of rape and put in prison and still doing God's will. But you know, he was blessed in the end. He had all the power. And where do you stand? Are you shaking your hand at God and saying, why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Or are you saying, Lord, I'm going to make do with where I'm at. I'm going to draw my strength from you. I'm going to live for you. And in this jail, I'm going to be light for you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to tell others about Jesus Christ and be that witness. And you know you'll be blessed. You know, you may have time to serve. We got to pay for our past sins. And we may have scars our whole life of things we've done in the past. But that's no reason not to live for Christ. He can use you where you are. You know, I want to talk about a friend of mine. Got saved. He used to come to our church. He got baptized in our church. But you know, he slowly drifted away from the Lord. Stopped coming to church. And I hadn't seen him for a long time. And I found out he had cancer. He had a cancerous tumor in his brain. And he had a cancer tumor in his lung. You know, he could have done, he had that choice, two things. He could have got mad at God and said, God, why? Or he could have said, Lord, I got this cancer, but I'm going to lean on you. If you'd talked to him, I talked to him last night just before he came. If you talk to him, he says, yeah, I was backslidden. I got away from the Lord. But you know, with this cancer I got, boy, it woke me up. I'm drawing back to the Lord. I'm leaning on him. He's drawn closer to the Lord. And you know, the path he took, he says, I'm leaning on the Lord. I'm going to have that peace of mind that passes all understanding because I'm going to lean on you. And the Lord's gave him strength. And you know what he told me last night? Blesses my heart. He says, I'm in a win-win situation. He says, if I die, I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus. No more pain, no more sorrows, no more sickness. But you know, if I live, I'm here with my loving family that cares for me too. So I'm in a win-win situation. He has nothing to lose. He's on the winning side. The victory's already been won.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to flee, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, but now I see.